Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast. On this week's episode, we have current Olympic champion Nick Skelton, who talks us through the team gold in London 2012 and the individual gold in Rio 2016. It was a great episode, and I'm so thankful for Nick for coming on. Last week brought to a close the Young Riders European Championships in Villamora. Team Great Britain did a great job across the board, very consistent, winning team bronze in every single category. So massive congratulations to all of the teams there, all doing a fantastic job. And at the top of the pile there was Ava Vernon, riding fantastic through the week, riding her horse, Jolly Fleur, super consistent all week, bringing the individual gold. That was superb. Her, just her first, you know, youth championships there. Extremely, extremely good for her. That she was super, extremely poised, really relaxed under the pressure. She rode fantastic. So massive well done for her. Jack Whittaker also was great this week, bringing home an individual silver and riding his horse, Genletha. He did really, really well. Jack, obviously, riding at a really, really high level at the moment, and he's looking fantastic. So well done to him, and that's really exciting for all of the young riders in Britain, bringing home a whole bunch of medals. So really excited to have on the podcast this week, one of the last times we'll be able to say this, but our reigning individual gold medalist from Rio Olympic Games, Nick Skelton. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. All good, ready to go to Tokyo.
Very good. And you fly later today, don't you? So we're just catching you just before your flight.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we fly tonight from Frankfurt.
And obviously it's going to be a little bit of a weird Games considering everything that's gone on in the past 18 months. But are you looking forward to this experience to be, you know, so different to how the multiple Olympic Games that you've been?
Sure, it'd be a lot different because... you know, I'm not going to have that stress that I've had in the last few games. So, no, I'm looking forward to going. It'll be a different feeling. And, yeah, really excited to get there.
And what's it like, the preparation for an Olympic Games? Obviously, you said there's a lot of stress. Is, you know, on in the team, is you know, tempers high, or is it trying to be as relaxed as possible?
Well, I mean... It's a different, I mean, obviously this only happens every 4 years or in this case, 5 years, but you know, there's a lot, not only once you've got selected, it's then you've got to keep yourself in one piece. Your horse has got to stay sound. You've got to look after him. And, you know, when you're in the quarantine stables, like, you know, like this week, there's, they're riding and there's a lot of teams there. And obviously the reserves are in there, you know, they're sort of on tender hooks in case, you know, not hoping that something goes wrong, but you know, you're always wanting to do, everybody's wanting to go. So, you know, do you do too much? Do you do too little? And, you know, it's just basically keeping your horse ticking along when you're those four people that are selected. And, you know, lots of things can go wrong with horses, you know, they're animals, they're not machines, and they can have off days and come out limping, or they can, you know, trip and do a joint or whatever. You know, there's a lot of things to go on, so you know, it's a pretty on tenter hooks everybody. And then once they left and got on the plane, then there's sort of a sigh of relief. So
today, well, we are going to go over the past two Olympics you have been at the forefront of, and so starting with London 2012, just even starting right at the start, getting there to the venue with the horses. What can you remember being their first day of competition at your home Olympics?
Again, you know, the same thing happened a few weeks out. You're hoping and making sure you keep your horse in one piece. And I remember getting to London. London was special for us because obviously you're in your hometown and your home Olympics, and you've got a lot of weight on your shoulders carrying the country that's there supporting you. And I remember the venue, it was all man-made. It was in the park in Greenwich, and you know, everything was taken there, the stables, the walkways, the arenas, that was built on stilts to compensate for the grading of the park. So it was all pretty pretty exciting, and yeah, we couldn't wait to get started. I mean, we stayed in the village, but I think as a whole, you know, London was a great Olympics, and it was run very well, and people, the volunteers were very helpful, and it was very well done games.
Definitely, and it's, you know, that Olympics was so special, and for and what it meant to British show jumping and the British equestrian industry, really, because all the teams were so successful, and you know having that as the forefront for British equestrian was fantastic, but obviously none the more so than the show jumping team, which was fantastic throughout. They leading the way by you jumping double clear, only one of four of the whole class, and coming back with that team gold. Was this something expected? Did you think that was going to happen at the start of the week, or is it, you know, did everything just fall into place as it was written in the stars?
I think when we were going to the games, I really believe that we had a chance to get a medal. I did, because we had some good, you know, good horses, good riders, and being on home soil, I thought would have helped us as well. And you know, to win the gold was extra special. And everything went our way, and you know, we had the jump off. I was first to go, and I think Big Star sort of, you know, he's a fast horse and killed it from the start, really. And so the rest was always the rest was a bit of a blur to me, really. But yeah, it was quite a long time ago.
Definitely.
But no, to win, you know, to win gold in your home country was extra special.
And I just want to go a little bit back to that jump off. Like you said, you were first to go, something that famously you do enjoy to be first to go. Every team, you always want to be first to go. Did that give you a little bit of peace of mind going into that jump off, that you could go in and set the standard from the top and then put that pressure, you know, a little bit like a penalty shootout, put the pressure on that Dutch team to then have to match you?
Well, it was, and I think, like, having, you know, one of your fastest horses going first, I think was a good thing, because one thing with Big Star, he was fast, and you know, I had full confidence in him that he wasn't going to hit anything, and you know, I could really sort of chance it and let rip, really, where I think the next Dutch rider was, I think he went with a little bit of caution, and maybe watching me thought, well, Christ, you know, I've got to do something now. And I think that really, really did put it to bed from the start. They were always, you know, they were always playing catch up in my book.
Yeah, exactly. It was, I thought it was excellent tactics, and not usually a tactic that all team managers do go for. They don't always have the, you know, your strongest rider go first. I think it's really, you know, you see it in different sports like cricket. You always want your best batsman first, whereas you'd leave your last one to go in. If it's all weird, the tactics, and I thought that really, really put the pressure on the Dutch, and it made it so hard for them to catch up then.
Yeah, but going back to that, my thoughts on that theory on that is, you know, I always, and I said to Rob, you know, we should send. Okay, I was always going to go first anyway, because I've gone first all my life, and that's where I like to go. I'm impatient, and I like to get on with it. I don't like to wait and hang about. But, you know, with sending your best riders first, that puts us, you know, psychologically on the other teams. You know, you've got a bit of a head start on them, so they're always playing catch up. So, and really, it's no point putting your weaker riders at the beginning and falling behind, and then hoping that your best two catch up, because if they don't, well, it's all over. Yes. If you get your best two out there and get streets ahead, get three or four lengths on them, you know, they've got to catch you then.
Exactly.
And I would always prefer, you know, to put your better riders at the beginning. Okay, you can leave one man back for the, if it doesn't quite go right, but in a jump-off anyway, I think it works.
Oh, definitely. It's, like I said, with the penalty shootout, it's something like over nearly 60% of the time the first taker of the penalty shootout wins. And it's something, it's that mentality, isn't it, to be out in front and keep and stay in front is a lot easier than coming from behind. Sure. So it is, and I think it's not a tactic used overly much, and I thought it was excellently done between, you know, you and the team there. It was fantastic. But then for that, you know, that medal to be won in front of that massive crowd at Greenwich, which was so supportive all the way through the week, how was that stepping onto the podium, even if you went a little bit too quick?
Yeah, I got a bit excited again there. I got on the podium too quick and they were all laughing at me and, you know, trying to pull me off. But no, the crowd were, they played a huge part in it. They were all behind us and we had a massive, you know, English gathering in London. So I think to win for them was more than anything, you know, it was extra special to, you know, show our appreciation to them. And, you know, that was extra special. And I think, you know, afterwards, when we left the venue on the street, everybody, you know, hung about on the street outside. And it was one huge party. I mean, it was brilliant.
I bet that was something like that.
It was very good. Yeah, we didn't. Actually, we were meant to go to the BBC studios and we never got there. And but the BBC came to us to interview us and we had a room in top of the, upstairs in the top of the pub and we did the interview there with Claire Bolden. So that was great. Yeah, good memories.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely, it was such a fantastic achievement for, you know, the whole team. But after that absolute jubilation came the individual final. Big Star had been the horse of the week. Jump clear every time. First round, clear in the individual. Came through the combination in the second phase and he came back to you. Classic Bob Ellis turn back, turning back on the right rein. Does that turn still give you nightmares now?
Yeah, it does a little bit because it did for a long, actually not a little bit, it did for a long time after that. I was disappointed, but because he was jumping so well, he hadn't touched the pole all week. And I just think when he jumped the triple combination, I think I got 1, 2, 3, 4 fences to go, and he got a little bit strong on me, really. And on the turn back, I suppose, if anything, I was a little bit close. He ran me a bit deep, touched it behind. That was all, but it was very light touch. And you know, anyway, that's the name of the game, and you've got to clear the jump.
Talk about it too much.
Yeah, that's the name of the game, and it didn't happen.
When you came through the finish, though, did you think Rio, or did you think, you know, I'm 54 now, Rio still, I know the horse was only 9, but Rio's still a long way away?
Well, I mean, for the next few weeks, I wasn't thinking anything. I was just disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was my big chance to deliver on that day, and it didn't work out. But as you know, as time went on, you know, then I got Rio in my mind because, yeah, he was only 9 years old in London. So he would have been 13, sort of the perfect age in Rio. So from then on, it was, and I only really didn't have so many horses to ride. I had him and Carlo. So, you know, I then put that Rio at the forefront of my mind, and that was the goal for the next 4 years. And,
definitely.
You know, we had a bit of held ups, hold backs with him. With his soundness, he had soundness issues, and you know, at one point he looked like he was never going to get there, he was going to be finished, and we sort of nursed him back, and then he got another injury, and then it was just on and off for the next 4 years. But you know, we gave him a long break, and we got him back right for Rio.
Definitely, and that's the thing that I don't think overly many people would realise is, you know, you think obviously the horse of the Olympics at London, jumping so many great rounds, that the fact that Rio was not always certain through his soundness and through how little he'd been able to do, is that must have been really hard for you, knowing that you had a horse that was capable of being the best horse in the world for the few years, just being a bit hit and miss.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he did have soundness issues and he had quite a lot of time off. But we decided that, you know, we were really going to give him plenty of time, and Rio was the aim. And the good thing with him was. He is not a horse that needs to jump a lot to get to the top of his form.
Mm.
Because his mentality, you know, his bravery, you know, it wouldn't bother him if he had to walk straight in. He was one of those horses that could cope with that, where, you know, a lot of horses, they need a lot of jumping to warm up to go into something like the Olympic Games. And I think he did that year in 2016, he did, the first round he jumped in the Olympics was his 11th round that year. That's all he'd done.
Really?
But, you know, you could do a lot with him at home, and, you know, we got him hard fit and you know, doing a lot of small fences at home and not too much courses, because he wasn't a great course jumper at home. He was too hot. But preparation-wise, I knew if I could get him there sound, I knew he would be okay.
Mm. Definitely. And you did.
And I did. Yeah. I had a lot of hiccups on the way with the federation and the vets. Mm. And they used to come every Monday morning and check him, and really got up my nose that did, because I did say to Di and everybody, I said, listen, if my horse is not sound, he's not going. There's no way. I've been to 7 or 8 Olympic Games, and I didn't need to go to another one just to say I've been.
To go
to the next one, I was going there to win, and that was it.
And if he didn't feel like he was sound enough to win.
Yeah, and if he wasn't sound enough, he wasn't going, even down to the minute of stepping on the plane.
Mm.
But, you know, it was a hard mentality-wise for me to get there. Was hard because, like I said, I was getting checked upon each week. And, I know they've got jobs to do and criteria to carry on, you know, to follow. But at the end of the day, they didn't have a horse as good as him anyway.
No. Not many people do.
No. So, but anyway, he all worked out well in the end. So,
we'll get into that. So then, what you got to Rio, obviously, and what was the differences between Rio and London? What was just the place, the atmosphere? What was that all like?
I mean, very, very well done. The equestrian part was done well. The whole game was. I mean, okay, you heard on the news, the media before, it's not finished. The venues are not finished. The roadways are not finished. Be careful you don't get Zika virus.
Mm.
You know, all those things, again, all before the Olympics. But when you got there, I don't think anybody got Zika virus. I don't think, you know, all the venues were fantastic. They were all finished. You know, they didn't deserve the rap that they got.
Mm.
It was very well done, and everything was, the village was great, probably one of the best villages I've stayed in.
Mm.
And the horse facility was second to none. The ground was perfect, the stables were air conditioned. I mean, everything was great.
Oh, that's fantastic. But it was a little bit of a hard time for the team there, wasn't it? It didn't go as well, and anywhere near as well as London. It never quite clicked into place.
Well, it's hard, you know, to get 4 horses like we had in London to keep the same 4 horses, or that, you know, some get older and go past the best. Some younger ones are coming on and not quite as good, and you know, we didn't have the best team then. I didn't think we really had much of a chance of getting the team medal, to be honest. Mm. So for me, I was going there for the individual.
Mm.
And it was a bit of a culture shock to him, to be honest, because he hadn't jumped anything as big as that the first day, which was my mistake. I had the last fence down, but it's sort of a wake-up call to him. But once he got through those first two days, and then on the second round of the team, he had a vertical down behind in the middle of the combination. And I said, when I came out, I said, he ain't going to hit another one. Because he hit one in front, he hit one behind, and that was it. And I knew he wouldn't. And luckily, I just scraped in the individual on the qualifier. So, different to what it was in London. I was the best qualifier into the final in London.
Mm.
And I think I was last but one into the final in Rio. So it worked both ways.
Mm. Exactly. That's the thing that is forgotten over time, is obviously London, if that was ran as a a World Games or a Europeans, you would have won probably even by two fences by the end of it. It's even still. Whereas Rio, it worked the other way. You went in, you're early to go in both of the first rounds. And then when it got to the jump off and there was seven in it, you were first to go. Again, as you say, you always want to be first to go. Do you think that played any bit of a difference that, you know, first to go, you're where you wanted to be? And like you did at London, setting the standard from the beginning, winning from the front. Is that something that ended up playing into your advantage?
I think so, yeah, because like I said, I was second into the ring in the final and I jumped clear. I was the first clear. And so obviously, yeah, I was going to go back first, which I didn't mind at all. I mean, I was happy to go first because I think there was six in the jump off, which I thought was three too many, to be honest, because I think the ideal number of clears in the Olympic Games is three, that everybody gets a medal. But no, I was happy to go first, and I thought, you know, I sat on him, walked around, thought about it, and in that position, you know, you've got to make sure you're clear, because otherwise you've handed it over to the opposition straight away. I mean, if you jump clear and you get beat, that's unlucky, but it's no point going there and going like it's a 1.40 meter speed and, you know, having a jump down. You know, you've got to be quick, but you've got to use your head a little bit and, you know, analyze it. So your plan and how you're going to attack it. And I just thought, for me, the jump off course was really good for him. And one thing with Big Star, he always looks like he's going fast because he's very blood and he's energetic and his legs are going everywhere. And when I came out, yeah, I was happy, but I did think to myself, and I said to Laura, I said, I don't think I'm quick enough. I said, but anyway, there was five more to go, and I normally get off and go and watch, and I didn't. I stayed on him. I walked out in the back of the collecting ring and just stayed back, and I could see the screen from the far corner, and I think when there was three to go, Laura came running out, said, oh, you've got a bronze medal. And I looked at it, I said, I don't want that rusty one. I really don't. Because I thought this, you know, I knew this was the last games I was ever going to go to at my age. I was 58. And, you know, I really put all my hopes and efforts into those games from you know, over the year before. And anyway, as it worked out, there was Eric was last to go. And he was quicker than me, Eric, but he did have that one fence down when he turned back to the vertical. And I mean, that's what it's about. You've got to jump clear. But I think I did put enough pressure on, you know, the other riders knew that they had to go take a chance. But no, that was, I think it was, great day. And yeah, I think the first thing I felt was relief more than anything. Because, you know, when you put your hopes in all those years that you've been going to try and achieve that, and really that was the last chance stakes for me. And
does it still bring back the same emotion, think, talking about it now?
Well, it does, yeah, because, like, you know, when you're a kid growing up, that is what you want to do. I mean, any sportsman, you know, whether you're a golfer, you know, boxer, swimmer, you know, the Olympic Games is the be all and end all for a sports person. And I think when you go to so many and you get so close, but then you're running out of time. And I think to do it then was just, yeah, I mean, everything came out in one go, and yeah, it's a relief.
relief is because it was an unbelievable day, and obviously just phenomenal for you, the horse, the owners, everyone to do with British Show Jumping was just desperate for you to win that medal, of which everyone thought you so deserved in London. Did that make it that bit sweeter, knowing that, you know, you came so close in London, the fact that Rio then came, did that make it better?
I think so, yeah. because, you know, I think Big Star was a favourite going into London on the last day, and everybody thought he was going to win, and the expectations were high, and I thought I was going to win. And, you know, to then have it taken away from you was, you know, have a fence down is, you know, it was disappointing. But then, like I said, he was young enough, and, you know, he was the best horse in the world, and he has been for a good few years. So, you know, to win was, like I say, first was relief, and then it was, you know, happiness and excitement. And, yeah, it's hard to explain, really.
Definitely. So, before you go, there's a couple of questions I just want to ask you. Firstly, do you think Big Star is the best horse there's ever been?
Difficult. I mean, listen, there's been some great horses in my time of, I mean, I've been riding over 45 years. And, you know, there's Japaloop, Milton, Dyster, E.T. I mean, you can name, you can name them all, but having ridden him and know what he won and how he was, I don't think that horse was always, I don't think he ever knocked a jump down the home. I don't think he ever knocked a jump down the collecting. He was ultra careful. His mentality was second to none, and he had scope and speed. And I honestly, I don't think I've seen a horse ever as good as him. I mean, obviously, other riders are going to think the same about their horses, but he was a phenomenal horse, without a doubt.
Definitely. Yeah. And do you still think, do you think you should have won Sports Personality? I think most people would have been, most people would have thought that that was done rather than Andy Murray.
Well, no, not really, because you know what, our sport is not, hasn't got that bigger following as tennis, racing, or football or whatever, but I mean, I think we did our best there, and it was great for the sport to get third place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't complain. Had a, it was a good achievement, I think.
No, it was extremely good. First, I think first since David Broome with our sport.
I think so. Yeah, it was down in 1970.
Yes, that's been a long, long old wait for that.
Yeah.
Also, your family has been doing incredibly well. Your two sons, forefront of a jump racing in Britain now. And how incredible was that for you and the family for Harry to win champion jockey this year?
I mean, I think for me, that was probably my greatest achievement for Harry, to see him win that. Because, again, I know what he went through in the last month. It was very tight. And, you know, he did a lot of miles. He rode a lot of races. And he really, you know, he really wanted it. And to see him get that, I was so proud of him for doing that. And, yeah, I think I'd have given my gold medal for him to win that.
No, that's lovely. That is so incredible. Because it hasn't been, again, like, for you, not the easiest path to Rio gold. It hasn't been the easiest always for him. There's a couple of years where, you know, it was in flux, and he's just come out absolutely flying over the past few, and it's been so incredible to watch that success happen.
Yeah, I think it's mainly, you know, all credit to Dan, because Dan's put in there, he's had, you know, complete faith in him, belief in him, and you know, he's stuck up for him and told the owners, you know, Harry's a stable jockey, he's going to ride him, and that's it. And if, you know, if you don't like it, then take your horses somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, you know, over those years, they've all come and they've all been brilliant. The owners, they've all stand by him. I mean, it's not like we don't have another, somebody owner comes in the yard and he wants, they have their own jockey to ride, and that's fine. If they have their own stable jockey, that's acceptable. But if not, then Harry rides him. And, you know, I think, with a bit of luck, and next couple of years, hopefully we'll get Dan there, and Dan could be champion trainer, and Harry being champion jockey is a great credit to us all as a family. And, you know, we're very family driven with both sports. They support me, and, you know, I support them. They always came to the Olympic Games with me. They didn't get to Rio, but because of where they were riding and training as well, so. Yeah, it'd be great for them, both of them, to get their accolades as trainer and jockey.
Definitely. You definitely should be. And the last little question, you're going out to Tokyo later today. How are you expecting the medals to turn out there?
It's a difficult one. I mean, there's a few good teams. I mean, you take the US, Germany, Sweden, Ireland, Belgium. There's some good teams, really. So it'd be interesting, especially with the format now. You jump three and they all count, but then you can swap riders in the second day. So it's a completely different format. It'd be quite interesting. So the team qualifies first day, and then they take 10 into the final, but then they all start equal again, but they count all three. So it'll be interesting. And then, I would put, I think medals maybe America. I'm going to say America, Sweden, Germany, Ireland. It's difficult. And then individually wise, I mean, there's obviously Ben. He's right. He's got the best horse in the world. Martin Fuchs with his horse. There's some good individual ones there, but I think Ben's got to be favourite. I would think.
Would you take Ben or the field?
Would I take Ben or the field? I think I'd take Ben.
Yeah, that's what I think most people are thinking. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has some chance. He's best horse in the world. He's riding fantastic, and Windsor just showed that. I thought he looked phenomenal, class above the rest with that horse.
I think, and also I think Clooney as well. I think, to be honest, I think they've been messing around with him for a year. And they haven't been, too hard on him. And I think, like, they know this is going to be probably his last games. And I wouldn't count him out.
Definitely not.
But we'll see in a couple of weeks.
That would be very exciting to watch. Well, thank you so much, Nick. That was fantastic. And love talking to you about that. Yeah, best of luck for Laura and the team in Tokyo.
Yeah, we've got some room on the shelf for another medal, so hopefully we'll get one.
That would be great. That would be great. Thanks so much, Nick. That was brilliant. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. A massive thank you again to Nick for coming on. It was great talking to him, and best of luck to Laura's partner at the Olympics this week in Tokyo. So also have to say a massive thank you to Deborah Hargrave from Pro Rider Academy for putting this podcast together. She's done an excellent job doing all behind the scenes work. So I have to say a massive thank you. And if you, as a rider, need help marketing or boosting your social media, make sure you contact Pro Rider Academy on any form of social media and they will be there to help you. So again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back for all of our Olympic updates next week.